Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. This is the episode you've been waiting for, where we reveal our FKT of the year winners. The variety of FKTs set in 2023 was incredible, ranging from fast mountain ascents to transcontinental runs and everything in between. Our winners stood out for the smashing successes on very challenging routes that took days off of the previous records. Join me today as I talk FKT of the year, the reentry process, and what's next with Jenny Hoffman, who set the women's supported Transcontinental US Transamerica run, and Carl Sabe, who set the overall supported Pacific Crest Trail FKT. Jenny and Carl, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And first of all, congratulations on FKT of the year. You both had incredible achievements. And I think the thing that gets me the most about this whole process, of course, is that there are so many different routes and it's really hard to compare. I mean, we have things from big mountain ascents to transcontinental journeys. So it's kind of an apples to oranges thing, but both of you definitely set records that really stood out. And I'm really excited to just kind of revisit what you guys did this year and kind of get your thoughts on this. Maybe Jenny, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on FKT of the year and, you know, winning FKT of the year and your FKT that brought you here? I'd just love to kind of hear what you think.
Well, I'm super flattered by this award. I mean, I looked at the list of names and I was in awe of some of the other accomplishments. You know, even your accomplishment, Heather, you were on the nominee list too. So I did not expect it at all. And I was very excited. And I think the thing that almost made me most excited is that my kids were really excited. And it's really fun to see them proud of me and excited to maybe tackle challenges like this themselves in the future.
What do your kids think about, you know, what you do and do they run? Are they into it as well?
Yeah, actually. So they mostly row, but my middle child, my 14-year-old is a runner and he did the final 11, no, more than that, maybe the final 20 miles with me in New York City. It was on two different days. We finished in New York City Hall on Thursday night, and then we did the last 11 miles to the ocean kind of off the clock the next morning. And there was a New York Times interview, and the interviewer asked him, you know, what did you learn from watching your mom do this? And he said, well, I learned I can do anything I set my mind to. And that was so heartwarming for me to hear that my son learned that. And then we went home, and the next day around 10 a.m., he told my husband and I, he said, I'm going out for a run. I'll be back in an hour or so. And we said, okay, have a good run. 2 o'clock rolled around, like 3 or 4 hours later, and we're looking at our watches. Kid's not back yet. We're like, is this a parenting fail? Like, should we do something? So he comes back 4.5 hours later, and he had taken my watch, and he had run a marathon by himself. No aid stations, no planning. And he finished in 3:38, I think.
Wow.
And then he had walked home. He stopped right exactly at 26.2. So it's really rewarding for me to see that my kids kind of observe what I do and take on challenges of their own.
That's incredible. Carl, how about you? What do you think about FKT of the year?
Yeah, also flattered, honestly, and happy. I mean, FKTs are getting so popular nowadays, and then after such a big year again for FKTs worldwide, to win it, it's a big thing. So I'm honored.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, I've been voting for FKT of the year for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years at this point. And it's just gotten harder and harder to pick FKT of the year because the number of amazing accomplishments has just been growing every year and just, you know, harder and harder to choose. What do your kid, well, what does your child think? He's a little younger.
Yeah. He's only 3 years old. So it's very different. He was there the entire Pacific Crest Trail with my parents who joined us. But he just thinks I'm playing in the woods and having a good time. And yeah, it's fun to have him along every now and then and to see him every couple of days. But he does really get at the moment what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish.
I mean, you know, playing in the woods, he's not too far off. You know, there is a certain level of... joy and playfulness in what we do.
And it's funny, he did get the fact that I needed to get going all the time. So whenever I was sitting down, he was like, come on, Dad, keep going, get up. So it was funny.
Nothing like a toddler to get you feeling lazy and like get out of the chair and get moving. That's fantastic. I mean, you both mentioned obviously that you're aware of, like, you know, the other people on the nominee list, and, you know, you keep tabs a little bit on what's happening in the FKT scene. I'd love to hear, like, who you were impressed by for FKT of the year. Jenny?
I should have done my homework for this question. I mean, the Arizona Trail was just recently set, wasn't it? And that one, I remember crossing when I was scouting out, when I thought I was going to do my route from LA to New York, and we were scouting out the Arizona part of that. So I remember crossing the Arizona Trail and just remarking on how dry it is. And so, you know, that somebody could go start to end on that seems impressive to me. Now I have to look up the list. Maybe I'm going to pass and ask Carol first.
Okay. Carol, do you have any thoughts? Like What FKTs impressed you this year?
So I think, yeah, depending also on distances and certainly the shorter stuff and the multi-day stuff is getting very competitive. And one of the most competitive trails out there is the Long Trail to me, because it's like short enough to be, pushing really hard, but then it's long enough to be very hard. And so John Kelly, his record was pretty impressive. We know each other from competing at Barclay and running a few miles together at Barclay. So I was following closely, and that was pretty impressive on a very competitive FKT.
I think you strike on something there, that 200 mile-ish range, you know, it's not short and fast, but it's also not,
long,
you know, like
slow.
Pacific Crest Trail,
exactly.
You know, long and slow. It's a interesting mix of the two.
Anything between 3 to 6 days is like a sweet spot of hard stuff and interesting stuff. Like, you have to make difficult decisions when it comes to sleep deprivation and pushing on versus sleeping a little longer. So I love following along with the shorter stuff as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it takes a very diverse athlete, like somebody with a lot of strengths, to be able to really nail FKTs in that distance. And John is like the perfect example of somebody who just has incredible talent at both extremes.
I think anybody who does an FKT on a trail really impresses me. I don't have the balance or the coordination or the depth perception. You know, anytime I try to go fast on a trail, I'm on my face pretty fast. So I'm impressed by all of them.
I will say I still run into trees quite often because I clearly don't know how wide I am. Like, that does still happen. Jenny, were you able to take a look at the list?
I mean, they're all trails, right? Every single one of them is a trail. So I think that they're all showing skills that I don't have. That's impressive.
I think that is kind of interesting. You know, FKTs can be, you know, on a lot of different routes, but the vast majority are done on trail. And I think, Jenny, that's part of what makes yours stand out, is just the fact that it's a long multi-day, you know, and over a month, and it was not on trail. And I think that that's its own special type of effort, and definitely part of the things that set your FKT apart this year.
Well, I think that, you know, since I'm on roads, I maybe do more miles per day, but I don't have the challenge of tripping hazards in quite the same way. And I don't need as much coordination. It's really just kind of pounding it out and getting the miles in.
But on the other hand, if I'm being completely honest, if I would do the same mileage on concrete and on road, I would for sure be injured. I'm sure. I'm not made for the repetitive movement on road. And so for me, trail, okay, you trip over sometimes, but for me, it's a way to not get injured. But on the road, I respect people who can do extreme distances on road, because it's hard on the body for sure.
Absolutely.
Isn't it glorious how we're all built differently? Slow twitch, fast twitch, you know, different levels of coordination and muscle memory.
Yeah, definitely different strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, I'm with Carl. Like, my body does not like long distances on roads. Mm-hmm. Like, I start getting shin splints if I run more than like 15 miles, you know, on a road at once. My body's like, what are you doing? Stop it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I think the shin splints are inevitable, but then you just work through them, right? That's the good thing about shin splints, is that they heal. It's painful for a week and then they heal.
Yeah. I think it's just my body saying, this is bad. Like, don't do this. Go back to the trail. It's much softer and much nicer.
Well, I respect it.
Yeah, I do love the fact that there is such variety. And that's part of the thing that I love about FKTs in general, is because you can do unsupported, self-supported, supported, trail, mountains, off-trail, road. Like, you pick what is your strength and find routes that match up well with that.
Actually, I have a suggestion for the FKT website. You know, you have sorting functions by geography and you can sort by distance, but there's no sort by surface, trail versus road. And I just don't have the eyesight or the coordination to do trail, but I'm super excited about tackling FKTs. So I would love to have a sort function by surface.
That's a really good idea. I like that. Carl, earlier you mentioned Barclay. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know if you intend to go back.
I don't intend to go back. I mean, I would love to go back to crew for someone, to see the other side of the story and the race and the adventure, and spend some time at the campfire and then not sleeping and trying to help out somebody. But yeah, maybe if I would have finished from my first try, then I would go back to experience failure and the difficulties that the Barclay has, but failing two times and then finishing on the third try has given me everything I was looking for. So yeah, for me, it's a bit of a closed chapter, and honestly, the training for it is so demanding. Your winter is just gone just by hill repetitions in the rain and in the dark. And yeah, but it has been really nice to go there and to compete, and it's such a unique event.
Yeah. Do you feel like the PCT is also a closed chapter for you, or if somebody breaks your record, will you be back?
To me, it's a closed chapter. So the way I see my FKTs, like the one on the Appalachian Trail as well, and the Via Alpina in the Alps, it's just when I feel like I gave everything I have in me, and everything went great, then I'm happy with the results. Like, despite the PCT being a really heavy snow year, and despite the 50-mile detour I had to do, I'm not thinking, yeah, I could have done a day faster, or I want to go back to go even faster. To me, it's just I was able to push as hard as I wanted to go. The teamwork was incredible with my crew. And it's just such a nice experience. I can look back on it with pride. And now, if it gets broken, I don't need to go back and reclaim it. The first time, I mean, a lot of things went wrong in back in 2016. And even finishing, I was thinking, yeah, maybe in the long future or on the long run, I should come back to with the experience I have now. But now PCT, AT, Via Alpina are closed chapters, and I'll happily follow along with somebody who breaks it, and then I don't feel the need to go back and reclaim it again.
Jenny, like, I feel like we talked about this in your podcast earlier about how that was sort of your experience with the Transamerica run. Obviously, you got injured. You didn't get to complete it that first time, and then you went back and you were able to feel like you did what you wanted to do. So do you feel the same way? Like, is that like a closed chapter for you now too? Or do you think you might want to try to run the route again faster someday?
I think life is short and there are many routes in the world that I'd love to run. So now that I've checked that box, I'm going to look for other things.
And it's not exactly like you've been kind of sitting around doing nothing since you got done. You were just at the World 24-Hour Champs. So how did that go? How do you feel?
Yeah, that was, I did not expect it to go very well. I went with a lot of ambivalence and a lot of guilt because I was on the 6-woman American team and there were no alternates. And I had intended to cede my spot to the first alternate when I decided to do the Transcon, because I knew that running 3,000 miles 3 weeks before a world championship is not the best way to prepare myself for Team USA. Right. But there were no alternates. And in fact, even one of the women who was on the team had a stress fracture the week before. So we were already down once. There were 5 of us who went. And I didn't have high expectations. I didn't even bring enough food to finish. No. I thought, you know, I'll be lucky if I get 100 miles. But a couple of women on the US team had some trouble and ended up dropping early. And I realized about 12 hours in that I was going to have to score for the US. And then somehow the magic happened, just knowing that I was competing with these two amazing other women for my country, I was able to keep going. And I still can't really explain what happened. I ran 138.7 miles, I think, when I thought I would have been lucky to run 100. So there's something magic about teamwork. And Carol, you alluded to this too, when you did the PCT, there's something magic about just when the team just clicks, you know? And I guess I felt that way about the World Championships. And I also felt that way about my Transcon, that I can't really imagine having had a better team. So it would be hard to go back and do the Transcon again without that same loving team environment. It would be different. And I think that the World Championships, on the other hand, that was a team experience. It was amazing. I've never experienced something quite so empowering from having two teammates on the course at the same time. And that I would love to do again. Maybe not with a Transcon right before.
Right. Maybe with a slightly different lead up.
Yeah.
I'd like to know a little bit about what it's been like now post-event, because like both of you did something that took over a month. I think you both did in about 47 days each of you. So, I mean, that's a huge investment of your time and your energy. You both ran thousands of miles this summer. What has the transition been like coming home after that? Like back to work, back to family life, back to like, you know, obviously, Jenny, you just talked about the World Championships, but what has the rest of that transition been like for you?
I think I'm really lucky. I have a great family and I have a great job. I teach, I have students I love. And so it's been relatively easy for me to just slide back into these great environments that I have at home. And it's almost sad because I slide back in so easily. I feel like I'm losing the joy that was on the Transcon. I mean, it took some time for my body to recover. I think for the first few weeks, I really just didn't want to move at all. Usually I have actually a walking desk. I have a treadmill under my desk here at work. And so usually all day at work, I'm just walking 2 miles an hour, you know, not really pushing myself, but at least I'm moving all day long. And for those first few weeks after I got back, I just didn't want to move at all. And it wasn't like it wasn't thinking that I don't want to move. It was just my body wouldn't move. You know, I would turn the treadmill on and then subconsciously I would turn the treadmill off. Mm-hmm. So that was unusual for me, but I think I finally now, 6 weeks later, finally gotten back to the point where I'm walking without feeling that deep fatigue that I felt in the first few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Carl, how about you?
Yeah, pretty comparable actually. Difficulties in the beginning and also just, I mean, yeah, it was really close to Barclay to continue to train for the PCT and the PCT was there in no time after finishing Barclay. So those last months of the entire 2023 was just so intense for me. And so physically and especially mentally, I was ready to take it easy for a while. Yeah, my resting heart rate was so elevated. I was feeling so deeply tired and I was so hungry. But especially the mental side of it was, yeah, I did have a bit of difficulties. I was just happy to take it easy for a while because running had been so high on my time management or time investments for many months leading up to it. And then on the PCT that I was now just happy to take it easy at work, to spend a lot more time with the family and just to take a break from running. So I've been eating a lot, drinking a lot, going out with friends and enjoying the good life. And I gained quite a few pounds already, but that's all good. And yeah. It's just nice to take a break.
Yeah, I saw you right after you got done with your FKT. You definitely needed to gain a little bit of weight. So good.
Yeah, but now I'm at the point where I should start taking it easy again.
Yeah. Kind of plateau now.
I'm in the same boat. I overshot a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but
the holidays are a good time for that, though. You know, it's like it's the right time of year to indulge and recover and give your body that.
I'm scared what'll happen if I indulge for 10 more days, though. I don't think that's... I think I need to turn this around right now.
Right. Carl, you mentioned your resting heart rate. What other biomarkers or tips would you offer to people maybe who are coming off of a big training year for themselves and or are noticing that they don't really feel as good as they think they should for the level of training? Maybe they're bordering on overtraining or something like that. Like, what is it you look for? What are some tips you would give to people to watch for so that they know when it is time to dial it back and give themselves some recovery?
Well, I think there's things that you can track with the watches we have nowadays, which is easy to track, like resting heart rate. Like after the PCT, it was so incredibly high for me that was like such a message saying, okay, stop running now and take it easy. I mean, usually I'm at like 40 or something resting heart rate. And by the end of the PCT, I was at 92. And the entire month of September, slowly going down, but staying 70 plus for at least a couple of weeks. So that's one sign that my body needs a lot of time to heal and to recover. And then just added to that is heart rate variability. So if it gets really low, your heart rate variability, so the differences between every heartbeat, it feels like it shows that your body is recovering or is sick. So that was very low for a couple of weeks as well. And then on the other hand, just your general feel, like mentally, if you're tired all the time, you don't feel like running, then and if it continues on for more than a week or 2 weeks, then for sure you need to think about taking it easy and taking a step back, because then you're probably overtraining and it's never going to be good in the long term. Either you get injured or you have a burnout running wise, and it's better to take it easy as soon as you're mind says, okay, I'm feeling tired and I don't feel like running. Maybe once in a while you have it, every now and then, of course, but if it's consistently that you're having to force yourself to go out running, then it's probably a very good time to take it easy.
I know that, the heart rate thing is like one of my go-tos after doing something big, like when I did the Washington PCT this summer, and I took it easy for like a week or so. And then I went out and climbed a mountain with some friends and I was like bringing up the rear. I was so far behind everybody. And I'm like looking at my watch and I was just like, my heart rate is like way too high, way, way higher than it normally is. And I'm still like dragging, and I'm just like, not fully recovered.
It's funny and interesting at the same time. So basically also what I do every 2 years is I do a checkup at the cardiologist, just because what we do is pretty extreme, day after day of running 15 to 18 hours a day. And I said to him about my resting heart rate that was going up so much towards the end of the PCT up to 90 plus. And he said, for me, that would have been a red line. I wouldn't cross it. So usually I just go on feel and I feel great, but it was interesting to see the scientific side of it. And that's maybe we are crossing boundary or pushing limits and maybe going over limits. So it was interesting. Yeah. The feeling will, to me, feeling is everything. So during the PCT, of course, I felt tired, but I felt great. I felt strong. I felt happy out on the trail. So that was my body giving feedback that I'm at the right spot at the right time doing something I'm happy to do. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I've also always gone by feel, especially in the recovery period, but it is interesting to see the numbers and compare those as well and see how they back up your feel. Because like a lot of times as athletes, we're very in touch with our bodies. And so I think sometimes you don't necessarily need the numbers, you can tell. But it is nice to correlate those as well and have some.
Yeah, backup. Also, like if you are super, super motivated for something, then the dry data can hold you back as well. Like maybe you push aside the fact that you're feeling tired and you neglect it, but your watch may be telling you, okay, it's time to take a break now. And it can be a reality check of the fact that you're overdoing it at a certain point.
For sure. Jenny, do you have any tips or thoughts on this?
No, I just go by feel. And actually, I was curious. So I went to look at my Coros EvoLab metrics to see what my resting heart rate is. And it doesn't seem to even have collected data over the last 3 months. So I don't know. It's 56 right now. So
that seems pretty good.
I'm standing. So I guess that's not too bad for standing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess I'm recovered. And I did a 20 miler this morning. So I don't know. Yeah, I just go by feel. I love to run. And there's days that I'm not motivated. And so I'll just take a day off. So I feel like I've been very lucky that my personal motivation has guided me to seem to stay within the lines.
I mean, obviously, you had, the 24-hour race within a month of, you're finishing your big Transcon. What did you do in that interim? Were you like, okay, well, I have to do these workouts to make sure that I'm ready? Or were you just going by feel? Or were you just, were you running at all? Were you laying on the couch?
Almost nothing. I did nothing for the first week. I tried to swim. So my plan was to just swim and do like one or two track workouts a week. And I couldn't swim because my body fat was so low, and I don't even know how to float. I know how to swim, but I got off the Transcon and I just sunk. So that was an
swimming
experience
in a life vest
I hadn't had before. So I gave up on swimming pretty quickly, and then I sat on the couch for a week. And then I was doing about 25 or 30 miles a week. Yeah, 30 miles a week for the last 2 weeks before that. So not very much, but at least kind of enough to keep moving. And I did throw in 3 track workouts there. But I really wasn't training seriously, and I did not go into that World Championships with a very good mindset. But the magic of teamwork really, I guess, pulled it out of me. I didn't know it was there.
And I think, too, a lot of times, you know, people tend to overtrain close to an event, you know, because they're like, oh, I got to get in a few more workouts. And it's sometimes it's better to go in rested and a little undertrained, you know, rather than overtrained or injured.
It's something that had been on my mind in the past as well, like thinking about an FKT attempt as like finishing the AT or the PCT and then taking a month off. And then usually beginning of or mid-October, there's the backyard ultra in Lasse's backyard.
So
a part of me thinks, yeah, what if the PCT is just the perfect preparation for the backyard ultra? But the reality is that, yeah, at least to me, it doesn't work at all. I feel so tired, and every run is just too much that by mid-October, I'm not at all recovered. And there's not a lot of teamwork involved in a backyard ultra, so that wouldn't push me forward.
And I feel like for those listeners that don't know, the backyard ultra is a last man standing event. I think for me, even if like physically, like I was to finish a PCT and feel physically ready, I think I'd still just be really mentally drained because there was so much intrinsic motivation needed for something, for a last man standing event, you know, because, you know, it's very structured and it's like, okay, you know, every hour on the hour, you got to be like, go, you know, and so I think it would be harder mentally, even if the physical was there, it'd be hard to do those two big things back to back.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So the $1 million question, what is next for 2024 or beyond? Carl?
Well, for me, it will be beyond because, 2023 has been such a great year for me, finishing Barclay and then setting the record on a PCT in a difficult year. But honestly, it was pretty intense as well, like training-wise, effort-wise, also the whole organization behind it. So I do feel physically, I feel okay now, but mentally I feel like if I would start to prepare something for 2024, it would be too early for me. So I will take a sabbatical in 2024. For sure, I will be running a lot, hiking a lot, doing a lot of fun stuff outdoors, but just nothing that I'm signed up for, no races, no BIP numbers, nothing like that. Just because I feel, okay, I need it. I just like running a lot, and I feel like I would be overdoing it by signing up for another FKT attempt or a big race. But then 2025 is could be a lot of fun again. But yeah, I'm still figuring out what exactly I would do. But there are 2 or 3 things that I have in mind that I would like to go for. And then one thing would be, of course, to stay with what I have become a specialist at, being the extremely long trails, a few thousand miles, and going for an FKT on a trail like that. And I know there's a extremely beautiful trail in New Zealand that runs the entire length of New Zealand, so that could be a very big potential next FKT attempt. I participated once in a backyard ultra back in 2020, where I became world champion, but then at the time, it was the world record of 75 loops. But now they are at 108 or 110 with Harvey Lewis. And honestly, I'm a bit interested to see how I would react, because that's what's interesting about the backyard concept. How do you deal with it mentally beyond 70 hours, 80 hours, 90, 100? And I'm starting to get interested. So maybe once more, I would like to compete at a backyard ultra, and hopefully the one in Tennessee in 2025. That would be awesome.
I would love to see you and Harvey toe-to-toe in Laz's backyard. Yeah. I will fly to Tennessee to watch that in person. Yeah.
And we know each other from Barclay as well, and we're good friends, so it would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it would be teamwork after all, and we would push each other as far as possible. That would be fun.
Although by then, Harvey's going to have that distance up to like 120 laps.
Yeah. So like that's what's super interesting, right? I mean, every time people think, now they just did it. That's the upper limit of the human body. And then people go further. And it's so interesting to see.
Right. I'm going to not get this exactly accurate, but there's a quote out there that I love. And it's something about like, everything's impossible until somebody does it. Well, I look forward to following along in 2024 to see your adventures, but also, yeah, what your long-term goals are in the FKT realm as well. It'll be fun to follow.
I'm excited.
Jenny, how about you?
It's funny. It seems like our goals are very parallel. I have also been stalking the New Zealand maps. And like Carl, I think 2024 is a little too soon. I need to spend some more quality time with family and with my students and kind of get my groove back here. But I'm daydreaming. And again, I'm not talented enough to tackle the trail. I did look at it, but there's a road record from north to south in New Zealand that looks pretty appealing to me. I've never been to New Zealand. Seems like a lot of fun. Have some friends who live there. Backyard, not for me, but I am on the wait list for Volstate this summer in 2024. So might get an opportunity to meet Laz in a different format, again on roads. Right. But I think another big thing is that I really would like to go back to the World Championship 24 hour. And this was really just such an amazing, magical experience for me to be on a team like that. And so much of running is solitary. I mean, it's not. When you do a crude long attempt like this, you rely on your team. You're very close to your team. And definitely my FKT across the US was absolutely a team effort. And I owe a huge debt of gratitude to my team. But it's a different kind of teamwork. And I think being at the 24-hour World Championship where we're all teammates on the course together is something that I would love to experience again in Albi, France 2025.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different dynamic to be part of a team that is supporting you versus a team that is competing together. It's a very different dynamic. And yeah, they're both really great, but they're very different. Yeah. Yeah. And I've been to New Zealand. I have not done the Te Arara. I've been on sections of it, but I could definitely see it catering to both of your strengths, honestly, because there is actually, I know you said there's a road route, Jenny, but there is also a lot of road on the actual Te Arara proper. So I don't know. I think both of you will enjoy whatever you end up doing, especially if you go to New Zealand. Yeah.
I sure hope it works out.
Well, thank you again so much for both coming on the show today to kind of rehash 2023 and FKT of the year. And, you know, I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you.
It was an honor to meet you, Carol.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Congratulations again.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Jenny and Carol, for coming on the show. You can read about their FKTs, as well as listen to full podcasts with each of them about their individual efforts on the website fastestknowntime.com. I also want to give a special thank you to John G for supporting the FKT podcast. John G makes trail running essentials designed to go further, perfect for your next FKT. And beyond making super durable trail running apparel that's backed by a 5-year run everywhere guarantee, they also donate 2% of sales to clean water programs in the places we run. So far, John G has donated $1 million to clean water and counting. Take advantage of a 10% off coupon at johng.com with code FKT.